It's the Paul Harris Show on the air everywhere on the Big 550 KTRS and via the free KTRS app. And I'm happy to welcome David Pogue back to the show. David is the tech columnist for Yahoo Finance, also writes a monthly column for Scientific American and contributes to CBS Sunday Morning and Nova on PBS. Written or co-written over 100 books. And if you got a new iPhone for the holidays or you gave one to someone, you should get a copy of his latest book, which is called iPhone, The Missing Manual, now in its 11th edition. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Welcome back to the show. Before we get into giving away some iPhone tips here, I've got to ask you about a possible iPhone problem, and that is that last week Apple announced that all of their devices, both iPhones and iPads, and for that matter, Macs as well, were going to have problems with these computer security flaws that we'd never heard of before called Meltdown and Spectre. What do you know about them, and how much should I worry?
I know as much as everybody else in the world does, which is that it turns out these are not bugs in the chips, in the software. These are bugs in the chips that Intel has been making and putting into not just Macs and Apple products, but virtually every computer and phone in the world. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's no, they say there will be a way to make a software patch that could block this security hole, but it could slow down your computer as much as 30%. Well, that's happy news.
Yeah. And this comes shortly after we heard that Apple has already been slowing down our phones and is now going to replace our batteries.
Oh, that's a disaster for Apple. Yeah, Apple had been secretly slowing down older phones every time you installed a newer version of their operating system, iOS. And they say that it was because the older aging batteries can't keep up with the demands of the newer operating systems and would crash if they didn't slow them down. My question is, okay, well then, A, how about telling us you're doing that? B, how about giving us a checkbox so it's up to us? C, how come no other smartphone company has had to do that? Apple was basically caught by an internet user who's doing some benchmarks. So Apple says, okay, we're really sorry. The way to solve this problem is to replace your battery, because the problem doesn't affect newer batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And to make that easier for you, we'll drop the price from $80 to replace your iPhone or iPad's battery down to $30.
Yeah.
So I would recommend everyone who's got, let's say, an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus to take advantage of this deal. It will not only speed your phone back up, but of course, it'll make your battery last a lot longer because new ones last longer than old ones.
Well, one of the reasons I switched a couple of months ago from an iPhone 6 to an iPhone 8 was because my iPhone 6 battery had degenerated to the point where not only was I losing charge a lot during the course of the day when I hadn't been before, but also because it was slowing down the phone.
Well, that's exactly the really upsetting part of this, is think how many people were like you who were saying, man, my phone is so slow these days. I should upgrade it to one of the newer models. You know, a lot of people are saying that's what Apple had in mind by slowing those older phones down.
Yeah.
Apple says, no, that's not it. We're not trying to do planned obsolescence here. But, you know, the suspicion is there. There's plenty of people who upgrade their iPhones because their older ones feel so slow. And now we know that part of that was Apple doing it on purpose.
Apple, we're looking out for you. We're just not going to tell you what we're looking out for.
Yeah, they couldn't have put it better themselves.
All right, let's talk about some of the things that you found as you went through here. In every one of these missing manuals that you write, you probably discover some little feature that you didn't know about because, as you have written all of these missing manual books for so many different devices, they don't give you anything. They just say, here's your phone. Go ahead. Figure it out.
Oh, you have no idea. I'll be, you know, crawling through these new operating system versions and stumble onto some button. It's like, what is that? Apple never talked about that.
Yeah.
And it'll be some really cool new feature. Like, Apple mentioned some of the big ticket items in iOS 11. Like I'm a big fan of Do Not Disturb While Driving. This is a driving safety feature that detects when the car is in motion and automatically blocks incoming phone calls and text messages. If I text you while you're driving, I'll get a text back from your phone that says, hey, I'm driving right now. I'll get back to you as soon as I pull over. In the meantime, if it's urgent, send your text again with the word urgent in it, and that will break through the do not disturb. So really well done. Of course, it's optional. You can turn it on. Or here's what's cool. You can turn it on for your kid, for your teenager, and password protect the off switch. So you can do the kind of thing where you say, yes, I will give you a phone as long as you promise not to use it while you're behind the wheel. And here's a way I can make sure that that happens.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there is a push out with a new group of advocates today trying to get Apple to curb kids' gadget addiction by giving parents more control. How is Apple reacting to that?
Yeah, it's interesting. Apple has parental controls in its Macs and its phones. They're not quite as well. For example, on the Mac, you can say, you know, which hours your kid is allowed to use his account and which apps they're allowed to use. So, yeah, I think it's something Apple might well take seriously. But what I was going to say is that the other cool things that aren't as well publicized, including one thing I've never seen in a smartphone before, which is a built-in screen recording feature, not just a still screenshot photo, but you can actually record a video of what you're doing on the phone. And I'm a guy who makes how-to videos a lot and tips and tricks videos a lot. And the way you've been able to do this in the past has been complicated and technical and involves a wire. But now you can do it right on the phone, and it's really a godsend.
So when my wife asks me, how do I do this, I can actually send her a video of me doing that on the phone?
That's exactly right. Or another common example is you're trying to explain to tech support what's going wrong with their app or Apple. Now you can record it happening and send them the video so they can see exactly what's happening on your screen.
Oh, that's very good. Speaking of having my wife ask me, I'm sure because you are the tech columnist for Yahoo Finance and write all these books, you get these questions all the time. Do you have dedicated people in your life who you say, here's a device, go play with it and tell me what you can't figure out?
That's me. I'm the dedicated person. No, I do it all myself. I'm a one-man shop. And I have to tell you, Paul, I really appreciate your interest in this series, because this is the sad news. Computer books are going away. I mean, they just are. The computer book section in bookstores is tiny nowadays. Many of the smaller computer book publishing companies have just completely gone out of business. Sales of all computer books are down across the board. It's because most people, younger people especially, when they have a problem, when they want to look something up, they go to YouTube and look for a video of it.
Yeah.
And I do too. So it's really changing with the times. I'm still keeping alive the three books that I do, which is this iPhone missing manual, the Mac one, and the Windows one. But all the other missing manuals are no longer published, and it's sad, and yet it's perfectly logical. You know, you can't argue with free.
Yeah, but the problem with free is you can only look up stuff that you know about or that you're having a problem with. You wouldn't know, for instance, to look up what is the emergency SOS, which is a new feature that I love with the new operating system, the iOS 11 point whatever it is.
Yeah.
I love that. If you didn't even know that existed and nobody told you about it, you wouldn't know to go to YouTube or to Google it.
Oh, you're exactly right. I'm not saying that YouTube is as good. I mean, the problem with the YouTube approach or the Google approach is that what you find, it can be old, it can be untrustworthy, it's probably not very well written or well illustrated. It's not done by, you know, professionals. So,
yep.
I mean, obviously I'm going to say this, but there's no question that a professionally written, illustrated, technically edited book is always going to be a more satisfying, quicker learning mechanism.
Yeah, well, and you do a good job of taking people through it step by step.
That's right, but the people have spoken.
Yeah.
Emergency SOS, man, if your listeners get nothing else out of this conversation but this, well, I guess it'll have been a bad interview, but but this is the best new feature. And no one else has thought of this. You can set up the phone so that clicking the sleep button, the on-off button, five times fast, automatically dials 911, texts people that you've set up as important to you, your spouse or your roommate or your parents, with a message that says, I'm in trouble, here's a map where I am, and at your option creates this loud whooping sound that goes boop, boop, boop. So if somebody's bothering you or tracking you or harassing you, the last thing they want is to draw attention. So you can do this in your pocket without even pulling the phone out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've, you know, you've fallen and can't get up, car accident, if you're being, you know, sexually harassed, whatever it is, you now have a way of notifying the world that you're in trouble.
Yep.
That you can do quickly and blindly and in a hurry. It's completely beautifully thought out.
I immediately sent the segment, that segment of the book, to my 23-year-old daughter who takes the New York subway.
I did, too. I sent that to my 18-year-old daughter who goes into New York from Connecticut by herself now.
Yeah.
Yep, same exact idea.
All right, let's talk about a couple of problems that Apple is having. One is they have ruined the podcasts app.
It was hard for them to ruin it any more than it was ruined. It is just
But considering that Android phones don't even have a native app devoted to podcasts, Apple at least has one. But why can't they get it right, David?
You know, it's really weird. It's, you know, the way these work internally is Apple assigns teams to work on these various apps. And all I can guess is that the ace programmers at Apple do not work on this one app. If anyone out there in Radio Land agrees with us, here's what I suggest. Overcast. It's a free podcast app. I switched to it after reading over and over and over online how bad the podcast app is on the iPhone, and to get Overcast instead. It's beautiful. It's easy. It's filled with terrific features. Download it. It's free. The end.
Okay. Also, I recently bought myself an Amazon Echo, and I've been playing around with Alexa just over the weekend. I got it on Saturday evening. So I've been playing around with it, and I'm amazed at how much better Amazon is at doing speech recognition than Apple is with their Siri. Why are they so far behind, considering they were in this business first?
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
I mean, I think because Apple didn't develop Siri. Apple bought Siri.
Uh-huh.
It was an existing company, which, by the way, was a spinoff of your government tax dollars. This was a military program to develop artificial intelligence and speech recognition, and they spun this off, and then Apple bought that company. I know they're working on it, and I know they're aware that they're falling behind Google and Amazon. I can't explain any more than that, other than they're aware. Amazon is something we should talk about. Amazon, why don't more people hate Amazon the way they hate Apple or hated Microsoft or whatever? Amazon is on fire. They're just creating one successful entity after another. They had a misfire with their phone, but I mean, they invented the Amazon Alexa.
Yep.
They invented, you know, Amazon Prime. They are just on a tear.
Yep.
And any company that gets that big and that powerful usually develops, you know, haters. But everyone seems to like Amazon.
Yeah, well, there are two words here that I think are going to be a very big part of our lexicon, especially this year, and those are Alexa skills. Because I read that 1 in 6 American homes already has the Echo or the Dot or maybe the Google Home, you know, one of these smart speakers. But more and more, we're going to be seeing stuff about voice recognition software and the ability to do that. And I would expect that the big move for that, David, you can tell me if I'm right on this, is going to be in the car, because they've been talking about the smart dashboard for years, you know, getting your dashboard to mimic the look of your iPhone or your iPad or your Android phone. But I think that being able to just say what you want in the car is the next big thing there.
It is indeed, and it's already there. There are already products that you can buy now that add Alexa to your car. And as soon as we hang up, I'm getting on a plane to Las Vegas for this year's Consumer Electronics Show, where Amazon Skills is the buzzword. There are hundreds of companies and products that now have that Amazon Alexa stuff built in. Washers, dryers, lights, you know, stereo systems, garage doors, coffee makers, all this stuff now speaks Alexa. My favorite Christmas present this year was the Sonos One, which is that Sonos multi-room home audio speaker. You put one of these little speakers in each room with Alexa built in. That is the holy grail You can come home and say, you know, Alexa, play Elton John in the living room. And boom, it happens, hands-free, before you've even taken off your coat.
Yeah, I was stunned playing with this Alexa device on Saturday and yesterday, how quickly it responds. You know, my daughter's a huge Beatles fan. She was home. She said, Alexa, play some Beatles music. Less than a second, boom, come together, comes on.
Yeah, and it's just getting better and better. I mean, I love the things that Amazon's been doing. They make a free audiobook each month if you're an Alexa owner. So, you know, over Christmas it was, you know, some Christmas novel, and it's fun when you're cooking or when you're cleaning up to just say, you know, Alexa, play this audiobook, and it reads a novel to you while you're working.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of great.
I got a text today from a friend of mine named Ron who knew you were coming on, and he has the iPhone X, which has Face ID, which is where the phone recognizes your face and opens up based on that. And he said, please ask David, what is the situation if I get arrested? Can the cops force me to look at the phone and open it?
No, they can't. One handy side effect of that emergency SOS feature we described earlier,
yeah,
is that it instantly turns off the face recognition. So if you're ever in a situation where somebody, an angry lover, a policeman, a mugger, or an angry ex-lover, policeman, mugger, all you do is reach into your pocket as you pull out the phone, go click, 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 and you have just turned off facial recognition, so nobody can make you do it.
I'm thinking of the guy who was on a plane. You may have heard the story 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was on a plane with his wife. He fell asleep. She reached over, took his phone, held it up to his face, and was able to get into his phone. But I thought that story was real until I read in your book, that's not possible because he has to have his eyes open.
Yeah, that is not possible. You not only have to have your eyes open, you have to be looking at it. You have to be looking at the phone. If someone's holding the thing up, all you have to, and you haven't had the chance to do click, 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 just look away.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your eyes down toward the floor or something, and they can't unlock it. So I didn't hear that story, but it seems apocryphal to me.
Well, she went so crazy on the plane that they turned the plane around. But I think there's something more to the story, that maybe she knew his password or something, because the Face ID's part of it can't be true.
It can't be true. And meanwhile, when the Face ID stuff came out, everybody was filled with concerns like this. And I'm like, wait, you guys, if you're going to worry about that, why weren't you upset when the fingerprint reader came out? Your angry girlfriend could do the same thing while you're asleep with your fingerprint.
Yeah.
Or the password. When the password came out, your angry ex-girlfriend could, you know, watch you put in your password and then use. I mean, it's just a silly worry.
Stop hanging out with angry ex-girlfriends. I think that's the lesson we've taught America today, David.
I literally got an email from somebody who said, wait a minute. What if I'm in a car accident and my face is horribly disfigured? How am I going to get into my phone? I mean, yeah. People are just overthinking this.
Last question I have for you today is about wireless charging, which you write about in the book and which Apple was pushing when they came out with the 8 and the 9, but it has a glass back and you put it on a pad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I have, like most people do, a case on my phone, so I can't do wireless charging. When are we going to have truly wireless charging where the electricity is going through the air to my device and charging it that way?
Well, it should work with the case. I mean, most cases can read the magnetism from one of those contact chargers. But your bigger question is absolutely correct. When these companies talk about wireless charging, they make us think it's through the air charging from across the room, and that's not what they're selling today.
Yeah.
But I've been doing a lot of reporting on distance charging, like Wi-Fi type charging, where your phone is charging in your pocket all the time. And that, I'm happy to announce, is coming. In fact, the very first product of its kind is going on sale this week. So far, they have a range that the FCC has approved of 3 feet. So what this is about is, for example, the transmitter will be built into your monitor, constantly recharging your wireless mouse and keyboard. Or you sit down at your desk, you just set the phone down on the desk, and that monitor transmitter is charging it through the air.
Okay.
That's not as good as, like, 10 feet across the room. But that technology exists too. They're just waiting for the FCC to approve it.
It's
so
a beginning.
Really exciting stuff.
It's a beginning. We got to start somewhere.
Exactly.
All right. I know you have to go to CES. One of the things I want you to look for there, I saw a video of this today, is the battery-powered suitcase that travels on its own but follows you wherever you go. You don't have to pull your suitcase anymore.
A self-driving suitcase?
Yes.
I'll pick one up for you, Paul.
It's going to be huge. I appreciate it, David. It's always a pleasure.
Me too. Thank you so much.
David Pogue is the tech columnist for Yahoo Finance and writes for Scientific American and works for CBS Sunday Morning and Nova on PBS. And his new 11th edition of the iPhone Missing Manual is available now. And, of course, he'll have CES coverage on Yahoo Tech online as well. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.